Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. AJ, Rudo, Blaze coming to you live as the Avs lose 4. No, it ends up being 5-2 with the empty netter to the Los Angeles Kings.
I want to do this way.
Okay.
I want to instead of a 60-second rundown tonight, I just want to read you some numbers, okay?
Pop off, dog.
If I tell you on Saturday, the Avs against Arizona, if I say that the Avs will outshoot them 54-33 in shot attempts, all even strength numbers here, okay? 54-33, 28-26 actual shots on goal, 28-16 scoring chances, and 10-6 high danger chances.
Yep.
How do you feel about their chances to win that hockey game?
I think I'd...
On the higher side of winning?
Mechanically, I think I'd take that pretty much every night.
Okay. Individual on ice, Mikko Rantanen, 19-6 for shot attempts.
Pretty good.
Evan Rodriguez, 20-3.
Yep.
Devon Taves, 26-13. Kale McCarr, 23-17. Do we feel good about these kinds of numbers?
Yep.
Do we feel like Colorado, maybe that second line should have absolutely dominated this hockey game? And it sounds like they did.
But they didn't.
How do you have a 5-2 loss with the combination of all these things?
It's the stretches of hockey that they were playing. There was bad stretches where they couldn't put two passes together. And then on top of it, it was like everybody just took turns. Georgiev had some bad times. He had some great times, too. Some great stops. Mm. But also then just let softies in. And the forwards and the defensemen didn't know what the hell was going on. There was no gelling tonight. There was this... No flow to the game whatsoever.
You can play in a way that produces very good numbers and still have catastrophic errors in the game.
Yeah. And I mean, 6 high danger chances. If all 6 go in, you've given up 6 goals.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and I do think, I get it. Tonight, mechanically, the Avs looked pretty good. And this isn't even like a score effects thing. Even in the first period, the Avs were the better in pretty much every metric.
And I think the first period is a pretty good microcosm of what ended up becoming the game, where the Avs are outplaying them. I mean, it's at one point they're down 1-0. The one goal is a 2-on-1 from a terrible Kale McCarr pinch where he has no forward help, just misreads the ice and then makes no play on the puck. Like the rarest of circumstances that happened to Kale McCarr, where he makes both a bad read. And then no play on the puck whatsoever. Yeah. Turns into a 2-on-1 that they just convert. You would love that for Devon Taves to do something in that 2-on-1. He doesn't take away the pass. He doesn't take away the shot. He kind of drifts in the middle and tries to do both. Doesn't help his goaltender out at all. Georgiev has to kind of make a decision and say, okay, well, I'm committing to the shot. So when the pass gets through, he's hung out to dry.
Yep.
And then you've given that one up. You can live with that one. Shots are 10-3. You're vibing. You're really dominating the pace of play. You're rolling guys over the boards who are taking control of the game. You lose a board battle in your own zone, and Bo Byram is just nowhere. And Gabe Vilardi puts one right over the shoulder. It's a great shot, but it comes from a pretty standard situation that shouldn't result in a goal. Yep. And you feel like you play a good first period, and you're down 2-0.
Yeah.
You feel like you play a worse second period, but you close the ground 2-1.
Yep.
And then you don't even give yourself a chance in the third. And so I think that's the real story of the game is a team that plays, decently, I don't think this was an atrocious game, but I think when you're talking about they can't string passes together, they don't play connected. Yeah. It's not connected hockey. It was all of their success is pretty much a guy doing a thing. And then the Colorado's won the first goal. Two goals, two passes connect, and they get a tip in front. It's good quality hockey. It's good repeatable hockey. And it results in a goal. Just like, oh, wow, there's nothing sexy about this. Nothing special about this.
Well,
and they just played so disconnected for so much of the game that
even
the power play can't get into the zone because Nathan MacKinnon can't make a good decision with the puck.
Yeah. That's even with the quality opportunities and things like that. I think the two things that let the Avs down here is one, they didn't do a good enough job capitalizing on the opportunities they had. We talked all game about how the rebounds were there and the Avs just didn't get to them effectively.
Yeah.
And two, you just didn't get a good enough game execution-wise from your best players.
For sure. You go and you look at goals against and you're not sitting here going, oh my God, Brad Hunt, what are you doing?
Yep.
There was plenty of that too, but
there was.
Kale McCarr, the first goal, Kale McCarr, bad read. Yep. Devontaeves doesn't do anything there, and you know that's your top pairing. That's a top 10 pairing in the NHL.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the other thing too is two of the three periods, slow starts where you let the other team dictate.
Yep.
That causes issues, especially when it's the first and the third. The start of the game and the close of the game. Yeah. That's not a good way. I mean, you're not going to win a lot of games if you're giving up goals early in those two periods.
I don't want to. I'm not going to drag effort today because I don't think effort was a problem.
I don't think it was either. Yes. But
there was something about the way the Kings played that third period and the Avs didn't that just felt like the Kings just flat wanted it more. It looked like they were the hungrier team. I mean, you go out and you score immediately to start the third period. You're sending a message that, like, we're not giving this to you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, okay, you know, you get one back, but...
Well, then you give it back immediately.
It lasts one shift. And, you know, there's a hunger there. You see the way Phil Deneau reacts when he scores that goal to make it 4-2.
He's pumped, yeah.
You know, he is amped to the gills. Like, that is a team that... that's a Kings team that just wanted it tonight. Well, they came out, they were very motivated, and there's no reason for the Avs to not match that intensity level. They're on home ice. They're in the midst of a four-game homestand. They've now lost two of those to the first three. I mean, the Avs, this was an important game for the Avs, and, I mean, Nathan MacKinnon has a breakaway, doesn't even get a shot on goal.
Yep. The no goal, and I know we're getting a little bit out of order here, but the fourth one and the one that ultimately broke the Avs back is less. I really have no problem with that goal. LA makes a good play. They score a sick goal. It's in the back of your net. The problem there is the Avs put themselves in a hole early, and they chased this entire game.
Mm-hmm.
They can't afford to give up goals like that later on because of the spot they put themselves in initially. Yeah. And so the problem isn't the goal itself. It's how they were in that room in the first place.
The fourth goal is the one goal that you look at and you say, you know, outside of like losing that face off, right. You don't look at an Av and say, what are you doing here?
Yep.
There's no colossal mistake there. The Kings just make a better offensive play. The same way that Colorado's first goal, the Rodriguez goal, is the same way.
Yeah, right.
It's good. It's just good offense. It's very repeatable. And
a dude puts a sick tip on a puck.
Yeah, it's a great tip over the street. You're not looking at the Kings like, what? Wow, I can't. What a gift that was.
Right.
That's just good hockey.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have a team as talented as the Kings, that's a good hockey team. Like they are fighting for first in the Western Conference.
Yep.
I might be a hater personally, but like they are who they are. They've earned their way there.
Yeah, and.
You just can't treat a team like that.
You can't spot teams like that two-goal leads.
The big thing from this is obviously execution is lacking, but I'm really disappointed that the intensity just doesn't get matched.
Yeah.
You're the defending cup champs. You know that you're going to be the bullseye on the schedule for everybody. You know teams are coming for you, but you're more importantly than any of that, you're 20 games left in the season, and you need points. You're still fighting for this thing. Are they very, very comfortably in the postseason right now? Absolutely. But you're fighting for more than that.
I think...
You're fighting for way more than that.
I think particularly where you get frustrated with that is the comeback punches you saw from LA.
when the Avs get down that first goal, sure, they played a good period, but they didn't really come down and say, hey, we're going to punch right back after we give up that bad first goal, or hey.
I mean, they kind of do. They really dominated
they,
that.
They the played... Next- They played dominated, solid hockey.
Like, they dominated, like, 7 minutes of that game. And then that when it got to 2-0, it felt like the game was just over.
Yeah, right.
There was never a sustained push. The goal that they get was great. And then they have a power play at the end of the second period, 2-14 or whatever remaining.
Just disastrously bad.
And you're like, they are absolutely... I mean, they score. And on the, a minute later, Nathan MacKinnon walks in alone and doesn't even get a shot on goal.
Yep.
That would have made it 2-2.
Yep.
Then they get a power play. They can't do anything with the power play. It's brutally bad. And it's and again, you're looking at your best players.
Right.
And you're saying,
it starts at the top.
These are the guys that are failing you right now. These are the guys that are both your advantage, but right now are also your curse.
Well, if you look at the teams that are in playoff races the last few games with the Avalanche, the Devils, you're giving up losses to teams that...
Yeah, I mean, New Jersey, Dallas, Seattle, and Los Angeles, you lost all those
And two of those
games.
Are in your conference. Like, they're, I mean, those are bad messages to be had right now by the Avalanche. Like, you don't want that in your locker room. You don't want that doubt creeping in that you're just, you're taking care of bottom feeder teams, but then you're not getting up for the big games.
Well, leading into this, you know, when we were so vibing, they come off the Vegas win. They were beating, you know, Vegas, Calgary, Edmonton. They were beating all these teams in Minnesota. They hammered home the last nails in the St. Louis coffin. Like, they've been beating those teams.
Yeah.
And then over this last week now, they took the free square that was Tuesday night. Well, you know, there's a reason none of us were like, they're back. It's all good. Everything's fixed.
You're right.
Like, that was as free as it gets.
And the thing is, I think you look at some of these games, too. You look at the Dallas game that they lost, and you go, okay, they got blown out. That wasn't a winnable game. It wasn't going to happen.
It was a winnable game. I mean, they just got beat that day.
Sure.
And another example of they just don't match that intensity.
But you look at the Dallas game and you're saying, all right, by the time you're midway through that game, they had a mountain to climb.
Yeah.
You look at this game and
they just got beat.
They are in this hockey game. They Definitely. Have the opportunity, even with the struggles that they had, they give up the two goals. They get it back to within one multiple times. And then they just immediately give it away.
Yep. Twice they do it.
It's tough. I totally understand having extreme frustration with this hockey game because more than anything,
this is not a look. If this was a one-off in the middle of your schedule against a good team,
then you don't care. Yeah. But
like, look, it is what it is. Like, you're gonna lose some of these sometimes where you play better than a team. And you just don't have, you know, you don't put it all together.
Bounces
and
don't go your
you.
Way, whatever.
Yeah, like for whatever reason, you know, it just doesn't end up being your night. But
when you've already had a couple of those games recently.
Right, like, in the last week where the good teams on your schedule, the non-free squares on your schedule have beaten you. You know, and the Seattle, obviously, that game was that is a game that they were not supposed to win but should have won because of how that game played out.
For sure.
But it...
It's not good going into the playoffs.
They've got 19. Like,
thankfully, they got 19
they've
more
got
games.
19 to games to try and turn this
not,
to build confidence and to try and build in. But they're running out of runway.
Yeah,
They're running out of runway. The injuries don't look like they're subsiding at this point. You know, Josh Manson, Eric Johnson, Gabe Landeskog. If they were all back for the first game of April, we would throw a parade.
Yep.
And even then, they would have 2 weeks to try and get it together. 2 weeks out of an NHL schedule to try and get it together. So this is the group. That's the reality. This is the group that's going to have to find the answers right now. Those guys come back and they get a little bit better. Hell yeah.
Well,
but right now, this is the group that needs to have the conversation, that needs to figure out how to start finding some solutions.
And I think you're digging at the point on why this is so frustrating is because they know, we know, that they can play better than this.
Dude.
We've watched them do it regularly this season across certain stretches.
Yeah, I mean, for six-week stretches, we've watched them be a good hockey team.
Yep. But they just haven't found a way to do that consistently over the long term. And it's an interesting spot because, again,
You're not like slamming all the panic buttons. You're not losing your mind because the Avs are still going to be a playoff team, barring unbelievably catastrophic failure through the last 19 games of the year. So you're not completely freaking out over it, but you still can't continue to go into games and come away with the feeling that the Avs could have, should have, and needed to play better.
Yeah. It's one thing if you just feel like you're getting beat.
Yeah.
And you're just and like, then, look, they're just not good enough.
They're just not that good. Yeah. That's a totally watching, different feeling than what this is.
You're watching world-class players just not play the way that they should. You know, Mikko Rantanen's a total ghost tonight.
Yep.
Doesn't do a damn thing.
You get just not a good enough game out of Cale Makar.
Well, and to be honest with you, you have a second line center that you commit to.
Yep.
In JT
and
Comper,
he's done nothing for you since that commitment.
Nothing.
Yep. Wyatt.
He has done nothing for you in 2 weeks.
Yep.
He had the one goal against New Jersey where he skated down the ice, had a great shot, and it went in. And that's the last time we've seen JT Comper make an impact.
Yep.
You know, but before Comper, yeah, you. Devon Toews is in the middle of all kinds of problems. This game, last game, or yep. 2 games ago, last game there were no problems. 2 games ago, 3 games ago. I mean, Devon Toews has been a big problem for you over the last week. Cale Makar has one exceptional game
and
since
three
return.
Mediocre ones at best.
And,
yeah,
and three games that you're just looking at saying Cale has more in him. Nathan MacKinnon was awful in this game. He gets a goal. Literally while we were talking about how bad he had been.
Well, and the thing is, like, even the goal was just this one-off thing in the game where he was bad before it. He makes one amazing play where they get the goal. Great. And then he's immediately bad again for the rest of the third period.
Well, and where is he on the empty net goal?
Yep.
That guy doesn't take a single stride, single aggressive stride trying to track back and prevent what happens. It has to be Cale Makar. It's very frustrating to me when... At that point, why should Jared Bednar ever pull his goaltender again if his guys aren't going to put the effort into it?
Well, and the other thing, too, is, like, we've talked about this. Your top guys are going to have bad nights.
Yeah.
But when your bottom six just ghost games and aren't producing for you, hard to win a lot of hockey games, right? Like, that's what's supposed to happen. Like, your big guns sometimes don't happen. They don't get the scoring chances. They don't score, whatever it may be. That bottom six has got to pick you up. There's got to be something coming from it.
I mean, Dennis Malgin has a great scoring chance. LOC has two.
LOC really should have scored a goal on
like,
that first
That's what
one.
I mean. Yeah. But they got to put him away.
Yeah, but then, I mean, you do look at Mikko Rantanen, and you're like, where are you? I read those numbers earlier. They're not hemorrhaging chances. They dominated shots tonight, and it doesn't – you watch that game, and it doesn't feel like it.
I mean,
it doesn't
even
feel like Mikko Rantanen does a single thing in that game.
Even
– this is a great game that enhances my – I would really like to see for a game or two, Mikko back with MacKinnon and let those guys build their confidence side by side. And then you can think about breaking them apart again. But Val Nichushkin with Arturi Lehkonen and Nathan MacKinnon on paper sounds fun and like forechecking hell and in execution – has never lived up to that billing on a consistent basis.
Yep.
It's had games, but if you go and you actually break down their actual on-ice results as a trio, it's never really been great.
I think this game sums up. If Nathan MacKinnon isn't going, those two guys are not going to get him going.
Right. This version of Val Nichushkin is not the same one we saw in the Stanley Cup Final.
Yep.
He's still fighting it. He's not 100%, but he's healthy enough to play. All right, so you have to find out how this version can be an impact guy for you. And right now, on that line with those guys, I don't see it happening.
I wanted to get back to Blaze's point, too, because the Avs specifically are a team where it's like, okay, if they're not getting it from the bottom six, they'll get it from their defense. And their defense as a unit was just not good enough. We already mentioned Makar and Toews. Bowen Byram was actively bad through significant stretches of this game.
Bad Byram game.
And then obviously with the injuries, you're going to get what you're going to get out of Brad Hunt and Jack Johnson.
Yeah.
It's never going to be that high end.
You know who was really good though?
Sammy G.
Our king of the game. Sam Girard.
Gerard!
The tiny king.
he helps create the Avs' first goal.
For the record, this is very tongue-in-cheek. we had really could not find one guy that really
there was
stood
very
out.
Little positive.
We really just picked Gerard because we know people hate him. And
I don't think there's necessary, like, of the defense,
he was the best.
He was probably the best defender tonight.
He's the big criticism will be that he's the guy that allows the tip in front on the fourth goal.
Yeah.
Okay. If you go and watch it, you're like, bro. This is he's the closest guy for sure. This is a real reach, but that will be the criticism. And I'm sure somebody has in their head that he had a million turnovers.
Should
as
have
well.
Traded him.
Yeah. Anyway, Sam Girard is our king of the game because we had to pick one.
Yep. It was not a fun night
like,
to pick Kings.
We did not think he was a train wreck or anything. No. It was just...
And that's what is getting king of the game in a game like this.
I mean, yep. They scored a goal where they made three passes, so congratulations.
Yeah, right. Right. Sam Girard, since this is 30 points on the year, that assist tonight puts him at 30. For him, that should be his baseline.
Has been real good
if
for the past month or so.
If he actually pushes 40, then all the haters are really going to have a hard time.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, they won't, but because that's how they exist. But, you know,
well,
there's plenty of ammo on the other should. On the other side. There will be ammunition.
Here's the thing.
When
is,
he had 9 points at 35 right. games or whatever, there, you were like, yeah, it's a pretty tough look.
There were times this year where there was valid reason to be upset with Sam Girard's play.
Yeah, definitely.
And
100%.
Yeah. Really, since the new year.
We talked about it. We were right there with people. This has to get better. And it got a lot better.
Since the new year, it's been pretty hard to really criticize the guy.
Yeah, it has been. I know somebody out there will be like, he's a negative 12 or something on a team that has two negative guys or whatever. But I actually looked into that. One night, because I was just curious, because I was like, because he has the lowest on ice save percentage of any of the regular D, which of course is not a huge surprise when a guy has a abnormal plus minus like that.
Yeah.
But it was also, I was like, okay, is he allowing the highest scoring chances?
And the answer was no.
Is he allowing the most dangerous opportunities? So it would make sense that the save percentage is lower. The answer is no.
Yeah.
You know who actually has allowed the largest chunk of scoring chances and high danger chances.
Does Brad Hunt count?
No, it's Bowen Byram.
Interesting.
Defensively, you go and you look at it, and again, I am fully convinced that there are some score effects that played into that.
It's got to be because you've seen him play stretches of just nails
but,
defense.
But like he has been in games where they've been up by several, and they'll get three chances right in front during a shift where you're like, it's a 4-1 game, and this doesn't really matter. I mean, and on the score sheet, it all ends up looking the same. But anyway, with Girard, I went and looked out of curiosity, and was like, is this actually this bad? Like, is his on ice defensive results so bad? And they're not sparkling.
Sure,
they are worse than I would have wanted, but they are right in line with a number four in the NHL.
Yeah,
a number four, a second.
Pairing guy.
A second pairing guy that maybe plays on a third on a really good defense. And this year, you remember he's played a lot of the season next to Eric Johnson, who got played up because of injury.
Yep.
And last year, a lot of his issues, if you go and you look at the with without you stuff, his issues were tied directly to Jack Johnson.
Yep.
Where away from Jack Johnson,
you put him with Manson and he was sick.
More or less what you expected, but with Jack Johnson was very, very not great. And this year has been a little bit of the similar. His game has taken off when he got taken away, when EJ stopped being his everyday set and forget D partner. And his game has picked up. Another guy whose game I think you could talk about is starting to be on the comeback here. So has a goal tonight in Evan Rodriguez.
Yeah. I want to talk about him. First, we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. I imagine games like this make you want to drink, so...
Buddy, the new weekly special, the 2-for-1 cocktail downstairs, very much tested the limit tonight. Very much tested that patience.
Well, you can get your 8 different kinds of Breck Brew down here at the bar, but they have dozens of flavors. If you're a beer drinker, I guarantee you they have a flavor for you. Even AJ will sip on a Strawberry Sky occasionally. So
I'll straight drink one, man. It's a good beer.
That's what I'm saying. It's good beer. If AJ has found a good beer from then, anyone can find a good beer.
Harder to do in the winter.
It's very much a summer beer, for sure.
And for me, I'm like 70 degrees and sunny.
Yeah.
I'm like Strawberry Sky time, baby.
So
good.
There you go. You got to find a beer from Breck Brew. You can do it at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online today. Go to breckbrew.com. If drinking's not your thing, totally understand that. Maybe getting high is your thing with Jive Hive. You don't even have to leave your apartment, house, wherever it is you may be. Jive Hive can deliver directly to you. You don't have to be at home. You have a place where you know the address, and Jive Hive delivers there.
You're good to go. Go get your weed delivered.
I feel like come Christmas next year,
just order people weed.
Weed gifts. Maybe on April 20th this year, we'll do that.
There
instead.
You go. There you go. A little 420 action. Yeah.
It'll just be weed day, and I'll just drive hype a bunch of random addresses in Denver.
just random people.
Yeah, exactly. Like straight up phone book style.
Well, you're going to be in huge trouble when someone's kids answer the doors.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be great. And they'll be like, where'd this come from? And then,
yeah. Maybe don't do that, but do go to Jive Hive, JiveHy.
Get all your friends out of
Yeah, if you send it to people you know, you're good. But
yeah.
You can check them out on the website, even if you want to schedule it ahead of time. Like maybe you're out of town and you know you're coming back and you're going to want a J once you're at home and relaxing. You can schedule them to deliver to you right after you get home. So,
do you think they have like special strains for Christmas, like Santa's sleigh?
I hope so.
Gets you real high,
but it's spelled S-L-A-Y.
Slay.
There's a picture of Santa with an AK-47.
Yeah.
Mowing down elves and shit.
Joke.
Yes.
Look, your version of Slay and my version of Slay were totally different.
Yeah, she was.
I was like Slay.
Tiff brought the Slay Queen.
I went full like.
Murdering people, yeah.
There's a game out that they used to do that for Christmas. They would change all their things to Christmas themed enemies.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
And the final boss of every level was you had to kill Santa.
You guys don't watch American Dad?
I've watched a fair amount of it.
Have you? Because like every Christmas special, it was basically them versus
evil
Santas.
Yeah,
<That's>
where
awesome.
They're like trying to shoot him down and stuff. It's
Futurama
it's
had
funny.
Evil Robo Santa as
Robo
well.
Santa
yeah.
was awesome too.
I love this. I love Santa as the bad guy. Great villain turn. This
the is, robot Santa see, was badass.
These are the type of ideas you can get with Jive Hive. So go he over there. Go to jivehive.com, JiveHyve.com. Put your address in on their website to make sure they deliver to you. There are only select locations where they do so. Jump on it. Of course, must be 21 or older. All that good stuff. Do legal things with Jive Hive. And go get high. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Other positives to take out of this game. Evan Rodriguez, talk about him in a second. Penalty kill. Excellent tonight. Don't love that they're taking penalties, but LA didn't even look competitive on multiple of those power plays. So
you're old enough to remember. Did you see the full Monty?
Yeah.
The song.
Yep.
Yeah. Having a little weird time portal. Sorry. Penalty kill's great, dude. It's great. Like, I don't even, I joked during the watch along, like, since Lars Eller got here, the PK has been fantastic. I'm not crediting it to Lars Eller.
Right.
I'm just saying it has been so good since Lars Eller got here that you feel like they have found a combination. You have found a kind of a rhythm on that unit. They look great. Like, we're not talking about, like, Alexander Georgiev is the best PK guy, right? Like, we're talking
teams aren't even getting into the zone.
Yeah, we're talking. They are killing entire power plays where just nothing's going on.
You get to see it early this game too.
Yeah,
huh?
And late and
in the middle.
You saw more than you wanted to, and this wasn't a game where you could really quibble with the officiating.
They were all pretty obvious penalties.
Really blatant.
Yeah.
Andrew Coglianos just was the most. Inexplicable.
Dude decided he was playing football.
Dude,
all of
like,
a sudden.
Like, did you just like emotionally need a hug? So you forced one upon a stranger with his back turned to you,
with the ref standing right
where your arm
is coming around.
Like the guy who's going to tell you you're committing hockey crimes is 10 feet the other direction. Like, buddy, what a god awful like in the moment. Like he had help. Byram was there. You know, now we also mentioned Byram wasn't great, so maybe that's why he panicked.
Didn't
he
trust
like,
him.
Kid doesn't got it tonight. I got to bail him out.
It's all me.
Yeah, no, what a weird, but just like this couldn't have been more obvious.
Yep.
Like, yeah. Just not, the discipline choice. Was a big problem. It's continued to be, it's really been a problem for really most of the season, I think.
I would agree.
And the PK has seriously just been so blah. for most of this year.
Until this last month or so, yeah.
It is really, really kicked up in the last couple of weeks. But, like, since Lars Eller got here, it's been like, you just don't score against that unit.
Yep.
It's a good thing going into the playoffs. You need that.
It's all Lars.
On top of that, I know the second power play from the Avs was terrible. I get it that mechanically their power play was not very good. They still go 1-for-3 on the night. You can't ask for more than that.
And the one that you're saying you have to score here.
And they got it.
They score. And you're like, okay. You don't love the way that they get there. Lots of room for improvement. But they still, that unit still ultimately at a 1-for-3 clip is doing its job.
Exactly.
You really, 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 really hate the one at the end of the second period, though. Because it just decimated all the energy in the building, ruined all the momentum that they had built in those since scoring that goal. And started to tilt the ice a little bit, and you were like, here it is. This is what makes the Avalanche scary, is that when the switch gets flipped and they turn it on and they start skating downhill, teams can't stop them. And then they didn't do a single good thing with it. Yep. Nothing. It was god-awful.
All right.
God-awful.
How do we feel about Erod in this game? Because I really put him into a similar boat as MacKinnon, honestly. I get the numbers look good. I get he scores that goal, and that's a great play. But everything surrounding that, it just didn't feel like he was executing well enough.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go for it.
You have to kind of break this into two pieces, right? Like, the goal he scores is a tip. He's in the right spot.
Yep.
It's a great tip.
He does a great job if you watch that slow-mo.
Yeah.
Fighting his stick through the guy.
He frees the stick, gets it over there.
Because he skates through.
Yep.
And so the guy kind of has him locked up, and then he fights his way through it, gets the stick free. Like, it's really good work.
No, I mean, it's a great play. It's a tip play. But that's a little bit different than playing the full 60-minute game as well.
And certainly playing the kind of style that Evan Rodriguez has shown that he should be playing, that the very up-tempo, shooting in transition, crazy one-timer.
Yeah.
It feels like we haven't seen in forever now. And just a guy that you're good defensively, but gets them going in transition and uses his speed to stress defenses. That Evan Rodriguez is still, I want to say a work in progress, because I don't want to say non-existent. I don't think that's fair. But I think it is still a work in progress. It's not the guy who, you know, look like an easy, you're going to try and give this guy a 4-year deal in the summer.
Yeah.
But also did not look like the guy who did absolutely nothing for you the first 7 or 8 games after the All-Star break, where you were like, where the hell did he go?
It's
somewhere in that middle. And I think it's trending up.
It's trending up, but it still looks like he's fighting the puck.
Definitely. Definitely.
I just don't think it's just on him, though. It's the chemistry of that lineup.
He's on feels like three guys playing three separate games.
Yeah.
I hate the Rodriguez Rantanen combination. I hate it.
Yeah.
And I think this is some of the problem we had with the Avs didn't go out and get a 2C, and now you're juggling this job between, okay, well, Evan Rodriguez is on the up, so maybe he gets that move, and you've watched Compher disappear.
Yeah.
And you still, Alex Newhook ends up with an assist tonight, and he didn't even break the 12-minute mark in time on ice.
Did he assist on Sam Girard's goal?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it wasn't Girard's Rodriguez goal, but yeah, Rodriguez on the same goal because their second power play unit was still out there.
It's a nice pass.
I mean, it wasn't a difficult one, but
no, but it was a good pass.
As you said, in a significant part of this third period, the Avs couldn't make two passes in a row.
Yeah.
So it was a whole lot better than that.
in a game like this, we'll finish the conversation.
Sure.
And then I'll get back to it.
You're talking about a team that's looking for consistency. And certainly with the second line, that starts with some stability.
Yeah.
Figure out some guys that are working together and keep them together.
Yeah.
And go with that. It just feels like there's a little bit too much juggling going on right now to me.
Well, and they've left this lineup together for a while, but in a game like this, you're down 2.
Yep.
You're down 1 in the third period at times. Not for long. But like, you're chasing. It's the third period. You're no longer worried about the rest of the game. You are where you are. You're running out of time.
Right,
here.
Right.
Why are MacKinnon and Rantanen not
together?
Stapled the net with Arturi Lehkonen?
Yeah.
I made the case earlier this podcast about, you know, putting them back together for sure. But even later on in the game, he's not even stealing chips with them.
Well, especially when you're not getting anything out of the other two, right?
Why
waste Rantanen down there?
Yeah.
Rodriguez scores the goal. That's fine.
It's totally independent of that line, though. So yeah. It's
literally the second power play unit.
Yeah. And then JT Confort does nothing for you in this game. Yeah. Again, a no-show.
But why are you wasting Rantanen? Like, put him with some more talent. And just, I mean, right now it's like, well, we got to at least have one line that's producing chances, that's out there and consistently pushing the puck forward.
It just two guys who you can rely on the skill to execute. Yeah. And I get
They're going
to
get their chances.
Neither of them played that great tonight, but I don't think putting them together is going to make them play worse. I'll put it that way when it comes to Mikko and Mac.
And if it does, then you just break them up again. Yeah, if it goes terribly, then okay. But at some point, it feels like you should be using your best pieces
and
to try and build the comeback.
And
instead,
every single
felt very weirdly stubborn tonight.
Especially when
I'm not.
This isn't a hey, let's take these two players and throw them together. There's a really long historical track
like
record,
5-year
of
history,
those two being amazing together. It just feels weird that that's something they're avoiding instead of leaning into.
It feels like it's gone stubborn in the other direction. Bednar used to be really quick to be like, okay, we're gonna break
them
up,
just get them back together,
and then I'm gonna steal a couple ships every game with them.
Five games later, they're back together.
You guys are really good together. I think I'm just gonna keep them. And then you know it was like this year there was some sustained success, but you are now getting into it. It has been a handful of games now.
Pretty much since McKinnon got healthy, really.
It has been, I want to say maybe 2.5 weeks, I feel like. I would want to go back and double check, sure. But it feels like it's been about two and a half weeks, anecdotally, since you really felt like those guys were playing consistent hockey, quality hockey away on their separate lines. I feel like you're getting one, like
you,
every
you'll
other
get sporadic
night. You're
games.
Getting,
yeah.
And it's like, look, like the Edmonton example is always great because if things don't go great for Edmonton, they just put them back together. They put those two star forwards together and just watch that chemistry go. And you watch them; they know how to play together. They know how to get the most out of each other. So, boom, go and do that.
Yeah,
and in theory, I get why keeping them apart. McKinnon is on a crazy goal-scoring binge right now.
Yep.
Mikko Rantanen has more goals than assists this year. So you're like, okay, well, those guys are each scoring goals. I want them away from each other.
But you know
but
that they can...
they're not doing it in the same game as much as you would really like to see.
And you understand that, I think particularly with Mikko, he's scoring more goals because he has to be that guy in the role he's currently in.
Because the two guys that are next to him are not on the same talent level to finish the scoring opportunities he can help generate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the argument of like you want to separate them because they are both scoring a bunch of goals. Because
that stuff comes and goes.
Like, yeah, and the other part of that too is just the game planning that has to happen for that line when you have two threats. You can't just, we're just going to totally focus on McKinnon.
Right.
Don't really worry about these other two because they're lesser.
Well, and which team out there is looking at a Val Nichushkin one-timer and Arturi Lehkonen one-timer?
Right, they're just not scared
going,
of it. Yeah.
Ah, man, we really can't. We can't focus the attention on McKinnon down the middle because he's going to find one of these guys. Those teams are, like, begging Nathan McKinnon to give that puck to one of those guys. And they're not begging Nathan McKinnon to give that puck to Mikko Rantanen.
Yeah.
It just feels like, does this make you a little top heavy? Yes.
Sure does.
Have you been comically successful over the last few years watching those guys score 3 goals a game and win you a lot of hockey games? Yes.
And for what it's worth, on a night like tonight where Cale Makar isn't going, where Devontae's isn't going, it amplifies that problem even more.
Yeah. It just feels more obvious.
Yeah.
Amplifies would be the word.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Sometimes I do all right.
Well done. Well done.
On
I'm an idiot.
On that note, Well, Blaze took them off, but AJ's still wearing his Shady Rays. Oh, they're not even his.
This isn't even a victory thing anymore. Yeah. This is entirely there a migraine thing.
Totally staring at the lights. It's painful.
Anybody that paid attention to the last podcast saw it happen mid-podcast.
Yeah.
It's blinding if you look right at it.
Yeah.
Look, is there a better test than staring into studio lights to know if sunglasses work or not?
Staring in the sun.
Okay. If you like having your eyesight, is there a better test?
You ever, like, coming out of Boulder in the morning? Dude, up the hill to Lafayette?
I drive west.
At a certain time,
here.
It's just like the sun is what you're driving into.
Yep, I hate those days. And you're just like, I hope everyone in front of me continues to drive also, or I'm going to run into them.
Every time I've ever driven back from Winnipeg, I drive back from Nebraska. Am I driving into for 4 hours? It's just the sun staring at me. We're having a staring contest. It's the worst.
Well, if you're going to get into a staring contest with the sun, make sure you're wearing Shady Rays when you do it, so you don't go fully blind, at least. ShadyRays.com to order yours today. They also have a physical location in the Park Meadows Mall. When you order with the DNVR code, you order two pairs of sunglasses, you get the 50% off. So it's essentially buy one, get one free, basically. Look, they're great sunglasses.
Well, and like the warranty on them, man. Yeah. Like, oh, you get a 50% off. That's three pairs of sunglasses. What am I going to do with three pairs of sunglasses? Well, if you lose one of them, they replace that.
They will replace it for free.
They break that thing.
They will replace it for free. It's
a tremendous value.
If you just decide you don't like that pair, send them back and get another one.
Replace them for a frame.
Like, it's just Turns such a good deal.
Service, like good customer service, is a really nice
it's
thing.
It's crazy. Not enough companies have good customer service anymore, and Shady Rays actually does. So, jump on it, ShadyRays.com. Get your sunglasses today, and then when you're too cool for school in your glasses, make sure you're betting on DraftKings Sportsbook and winning the money. You go over there, you use code DNVR right now with a new account. You bet $5, you get $200 in free bets. You don't even have to win the bet. You just get it. They just give you $200 to go bet on whatever you want. Are you a believer that the Avs are going to come out of this and make a deep playoff run? Bet on them to win the conference finals. Are you a doomer and think the Avs are going to get eliminated in the first round? Bet on them to do that. I think you'd get pretty good odds if you bet on the Avs to lose in the first round, though. So.
Right now, man, they feel like this team that I watched tonight felt like a second round exit.
I think there's some interesting context there about.
There's a lot.
A lot of things. But for this one, if you don't want to bet on the Avs, also an option. Honestly, Nuggets seem like a pretty good bet to do the thing this year.
Yep. I don't know, man. That game last night. I'm just kidding.
Continue to bet.
They lost to the Bulls. How are they supposed to win anything?
Yeah.
I can't do this.
I was totally just kidding.
I cannot. I don't. We get enough of that from the chat. I can't have the co-host doing it too.
Very hard to resist.
Whatever you want to bet on, DraftKings has you covered. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See the show notes down below for details. If you're a gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. And it's void in Ohio. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. The Avs have had an interesting year where they've had more losses than you'd like.
Especially at home.
But
like 17 and 16 at home now?
The West keeps giving them free passes. No one has taken advantage of the Avs losses to where they sit in a situation where if they can figure it out, if they can find that consistency, they're still going to win the West. Can they do it?
So they did the hard part, the really hard part of they caught up it, right? They caught up, put a big scare into everybody. And since catching up to everybody,
they've just kind
they've,
of
they've, it's status quo. It's been the last week. Yep. It's been a bad week. And that's where you do wonder, have they expended so much energy chasing that they're going to have a hard time taking that next step forward? Yeah. And then, because they're not going to separate. They're not going to win the division by 6 points.
No.
This is going to be, if they're down gonna, to the wire, to, yeah. It is going to be an absolute dogfight.
Yeah.
And every time they lose a game in regulation like this, every time they give away the game against Seattle the way that they did, every time you leave points on the board like that, you just make that job harder on yourself the next day. It becomes a harder and harder job the more you go. And, you know, you're watching, like, Winnipeg falling apart in front of everybody's eyes.
Actively collapsing.
Minnesota losing Kirill Kaprizov for the next 4 weeks. So your two main contenders, even if you aren't going to chase down Dallas for the division, your two main contenders for home ice in round one
are not in great spots either.
They're in a much worse spot. Yeah, they would trade spots with the Avalanche today. In a heartbeat.
Even Dallas.
Even with all those problems.
I know Dallas just blew out Buffalo tonight, but even they lost Tyler Seguin in this game. Like,
and like, if the Stars could choose a top six guy to lose, it's Seguin because he's been the worst.
But
of those
still.
Guys. But yeah, like, you're talking about it, not celebrating an injury, but it's also not. Like, high time that one of these teams around them started to have to fight through some of this.
It's just. All these teams all of a sudden are living in the same room Colorado's been living in for a long time.
Yeah,
this year.
And the problem is that the Colorado's right in the it's in the rear view mirror now. Yep. You know, objects in mirror may appear closer than yeah. So, you know, they're there, but Colorado's challenge is pushing through that and then separating from the three seed. You know, chasing Dallas is one thing, but. I think they could still do it. I would still pick them if you put a gun to my head right now. Pick them to win the Central Division. But you know, after the last four games, if they had won two of them, I would be loving that.
You're loving the Avs position.
Exactly. They don't though, and they're where they are is a really it just gets tougher. There's not enough runway for that anymore. And we could lament all the giving away points, you know, Anaheim, Vancouver, Chicago's, whatever. But they are where they are. They got back in the race, but they've not solidified themselves in it yet to where you can feel comfortable. Where you're like, okay, maybe they don't win the Central, but they're gonna be on home ice. You know, they're still chasing home ice right now. They're not even in that spot.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's imperative that. We talk about the weak schedule. They have to take advantage of it.
Yep.
You know, there's no shame in losing to the Los Angeles Kings. It's a good hockey team. But they just don't have the luxury to continue to give the games away that are left on the schedule.
Yep.
It ramps up the pressure when you lose to an LA. Ramps up the pressure that you have to beat Arizona.
Yep. Montreal.
You have to beat Montreal in Montreal next week.
You really like that win against Pittsburgh.
You really, really, really want to take Ottawa next week.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a really tough, you're once again on a Sega Baba, tired team against a rested team on the road in Ottawa at the end of a road trip.
You got to dig deep.
You know, like that is a scheduled loss. And Toronto the night before is going to be no easy task. So, you know, it is imperative that they respond.
Yep.
With a plum on Saturday
and
Friday
and look
Friday Saturday, right. Saturday.
The reality is
I don't know what today is. Thursday.
Today is Thursday.
It's me against the calendar on live on air. Dude, now you guys know what I deal with every day.
We hit February and days and months just stop existing.
It really doesn't even matter, man. It's like my whole life is like this. I'm just like I don't know.
You're not wrong, but
somebody asked me today. They were like, "You want to hang out on Sunday?" And I was like, "What the hell is Sunday?"
Game day or that? Is that a game day or not game day? That's all I know.
Totally.
The thing is, we don't know the future. We could be sitting here and the Avs could rattle off another 7-1 in one stretch, and then we're going, "Hey, the Avs did what they had to do. They're sitting here, whatever."
It's a team that takes care of business that does that.
Yeah. You know? Or they could struggle through this stretch, and we're going, "Look, the Avs have serious problems." I don't know which one's going to happen. If I did, I would be betting at DraftKings and making a serious amount of money. We'll see. Either way. Do we have any super chats or are we good? Yeah, we do have a couple super chats here. $2 from DeGro who says, just here to drink a beer in the loss. Thank you all. Thank you very much, DeGro. $10 from Melanie who says, major bummer. On to the next. Go Avalanche.
This is how I feel about it.
Honestly,
sure.
Yeah. And then a very large $50 from Banks, who says, I look forward to this game. Since Seattle, I was let down by the execution and the lack of jump. Need better in these types of games. The core has it in them. I lost my spot. The core has it in them and have 19 games left to take the Central. For those panicking, have faith in our guys. Yeah, I don't think we're anywhere particularly close to the panic button.
Dude.
The reason it's so frustrating is because you know the Avs are better than this.
Well, and you've seen it this year.
They missed the postseason. I'm going to sleep.
Yeah. You've seen it this year. I mean, we've talked about it. Like the stretches that they put where they're playing great hockey. Yeah. It's just that
long stretches.
You get these slumps.
Yep.
The difference between this year's team and really the team of the last really two or three is that this year the down slumps have turned into
slumps.
3, 4, 5 games.
Yeah.
They're not. Well, remember the two games that they lost and everybody was very upset and then they won the next five games? Like, that's not. The Avs this year have been
a little streak.
You mean
here,
the two games to Columbus that they lost?
They have been a truly inconsistent squad this year with, you know, the ups have still been very good when you watch them and you're like, yeah, these guys are great. But the downs, they have not fought through nearly as well. Some of that is leadership. Some of that is maturity. Some of that is, I think, there's an emotional fatigue the team that leads into a physical one. And some of that is just continuing to be the fact that your injury issues have capped your talent.
For what it's worth, Darren Helm practicing a no contact with the team today.
Just real quick, I just want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you put him?
4C.
Who drops off?
Malgin.
So you take. What are you doing with Newhook?
Moving him up the lineup.
Okay, so not a real answer. That's never happening.
Wow. Just going to do me like that, huh?
I am, dude, because I don't. Jared Bednar doesn't seem to know what to do with Alex Newhook.
But you're not wrong. He's
genuinely confounded by Alex Newhook, the should be a top six player, has a top six player skill set. Looks everything like a top six player every time he plays with really talented other top six players and then doesn't get the job that those looks and then gets pushed down by every other guy. Matt Nieto comes in the lineup and nope. Lars Eller comes in the lineup. Nope. Like, just feels like they just don't. Doesn't know what to do with them.
Like, if Darren Helm gets healthy, it feels really easy to me to throw Darren Helm and Logan O'Connor together and then. Everyone refuses to separate Logan O'Connor and Cogliano, so you just do that. And then you have an Eller, Newhook, and Nieto, I guess, on that line.
Dude, so it's even more misfit for Alex Newhook. Mm-hmm. He's not playing center. Now he's four left wing next to Lars Eller and Matt Nieto.
That would be my third line. That would be my third line.
I'm going home.
And if it were up to me, I'd put him at 2C, but I know the Avs aren't going to do that.
This has broken me.
We're going to get out of here. We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us even after an Avs loss.
He's got the keys out already. He's gone.
We'll be back tomorrow. We'll spend the entire off day pod razzing AJ with Newhook as that misfit or something. I don't know. We appreciate you, and we'll see you.
There's a meme there.
On the next one.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.